This week's Dvar Torah is sponsored with Chus HaBocher Eliezer Halevi Simon and Mushka Samuel Sheyichyu and HaBocher Aaron Doiv Ber and Chava Zissel Kreiman in honor of their engagements. Also, Lizchus Nechama Dina Barber that her parents should raise her L'Torah L'Chupa L'Maisim Toivim. The learning of the Dvar Torah is Lizchus Reb Shalom Mordechai Halevi Sheyichya Ben Rivka that he should have a Geula Kreiva Min HaMeitzar El HaMerchav. This week's Dvar Torah will discuss the Inyan of Melava Malka. Every Motzah Shabbos, when Shabbos leaves us, it is proper to accompany it just as one accompanies a king when he leaves the city. Therefore, the Shulchan Aruch paskens that on Motzah Shabbos, one should set his table as he would for a full Suda, even if he can only eat one kezayis. At this Suda, called Melava Malka, accompanying the queen, one should light candles and sing zmiris as one would for a king. The Gemara in Masechta Shabbos tells a story of Rav Avohu, who would have an exceptional calf prepared for him every Meitzoi Shabbos, of which he would eat only the kidneys. Seeing this, his son Avimi suggested that he take the kidneys from the calf Shechten on Erev Shabbos, thus saving an entire animal. Rav Avohu did as he advised, but a lion came and ate the second calf which he had wanted to save. Based on this story, there is a minhag to prepare a special dish for Melava Malka, hence honoring the Suda even more. On Moitzoi Shabbos, one should wear Big Day Shabbos. Some wear them until after Melava Malka, while others do not remove them until going to sleep. This was the minhag of the Friedeker Rebbe and the Rebbe, who also told others to do so. The Medrash tells about a special bone in the spine called Luz, which did not benefit from the Eitz Hadas, for it can only benefit from Melava Malka. This bone cannot be destroyed by anything in the world, and from it Hashem will bring every person back to life at Tchias HaMesim. The Rebbe explains that since Melava Malka connects Shabbos and Chol, giving Koyach and Bracha to the entire week, therefore it benefits the Luz, which brings life into the rest of the body, La'osid Lavoi. It is preferable that one wash from Melava Malka. However, if one is unable, he can fulfill this mitzvah by eating other foods. The Rebbe was extremely careful to wash from Melava Malka. One Moitzoi Shabbos, when the Chassidim of Reb David Moshe of Chartkov gathered from Melava Malka, singing Zmiris and telling Sipurei Tzadikim, the Rebbe himself suddenly made his presence. He sat down and expounded on the Maila of the Suda Melava Malka, which was established by David HaMelech, and whose great Zchus protects and saves those who celebrate it. He then related a story of two Yiddish business partners who were very careful to escort the Shabbos queen with a proper Melava Malka, even when it was exceedingly difficult. Once the central fair was to take place on Sunday, compelling the partners to begin their journey on Moitzoi Shabbos, so they packed food to be able to eat Melava Malka on the way. It was a frigid, cold night, and as they were traveling, snow began to fall, concealing the road path they were following. Remembering that they had not yet eaten Melava Malka, they decided to stop and have the Suda. But they suddenly realized that they had no water with which to wash their hands. Looking around, they noticed a light twinkling from afar. So they traveled towards it, arriving at a peasant's small hut. They knocked on the door and asked to wash their hands. The peasant agreed, offering them to come in, warm themselves, and eat their meal. The partners sat down for their Suda, singing in honor of the Shabbos HaMalka. Concluding the Melava Malka, they prepared to leave and continue on their journey, when without warning, a group of thugs appeared, forcefully blocking them from leaving. "You will not leave from here alive," they shouted. "We kill all those who come here and take all of their belongings." Seeing no way out, the Yiddish partners begged for a few minutes to say vidui. The Goyish criminals granted them this last request. Suddenly, ringing chimes announcing the approach of a carriage were heard, and soon knocks were heard on the door. A paritz came to ask for directions, for he had lost his way due to the snowstorm. Laughing, the robbers told him that he too would not leave their hut alive, and demanded that he hand over all his money. Having no choice, he obeyed, but asked as a last request for some whiskey to quench his thirst. They agreed, and the paritz invited the wild goyim to join him in drinking. Just as they began to drink, the criminals were suddenly paralyzed, unable to move, like stones. The pirates turned to the partners, instructing them to take their belongings and escape. In a short amount of time, they were far from the danger zone. The charged kever concluded, "Do you know who the paritz was? It was David HaMelech who had come to save the partners in schus of their extra care to eat Mlav HaMalka properly, including washing for a soda." The next morning, two strangers arrived in Charskov, telling over an ace that had occurred to them while traveling to the fair. There are many minhagim associated with this soda, all of which come from a holy source. Some of them are drinking or eating something hot, as the Gemara says that it is a refuah. Some say that it's a skula for feeling calm. Saying Dohi Sudasa de David Malka Meshicha, for this Suda has a special connection with David HaMelech. These two minhagim were known to be done by the Rebbe. Another minhag is telling Sipurei Tzadikim, particularly of the Baal Shem Tov, which is a skula for many things. Eating Mlav HaMalka is a skula for many things, including an easy childbirth, parnasa, health, arichas yomim, and also beruchnius. It protects a person from lying, serves as a tikkun, and spares a person from chibut hakever. As per the request of the men from a small Lithuanian town, the Baal Shem Tov sent one of his chassidim to be their rav. In that town lived a Talmud Chacham who was supported by the townsmen's contributions. The Rav, seeing the lack of support to the communal charities, was displeased that all the money was being given to the Talmud Chacham. He announced that it was better to give less to one person and not cause the needs of the many to be neglected. As a result, the contributions towards the Talmud Chacham slowly decreased. One Thursday, the Talmud Chacham's wife came to the Beis Medrash, as was her custom, to ask him for money to buy their family's Shabbos necessities. Being so distressed at having nothing to give her, he wept, and his tears went straight to Shemayim, arousing a prosecution against the Rav. Finding the Rav guilty for this and other charges, the Beis Din Shomayla handed his judgment over to the Mekatrigim, prosecution, who decided that worse than killing him, they would turn him into an apikoidus. That Shabbos, standing wrapped in his talus ready for Shachris, the Rav was suddenly crazed by a burning desire to convert. Throwing off his talus, he drank all the mashke that had been prepared for the Kiddush and rushed to the house of the Galach who lived on the outskirts of town. Hearing his desire, the astonished but delighted Galach showed him to a room with lots of food and drink, telling him to wait. The Rav drank freely from the large bottle of mashke, causing him to feel nauseous and fall asleep on the floor. Meanwhile, the townsmen heard what had happened and were absolutely shocked and dumbstruck. During this time, the time of Suda Shlishis, the Baal Shem Tov would ascend Lemaila and see how his Talmidim were doing. When he saw his Talmid, the Rav, sinking in the powers of Klippa, he appealed to the Beis Din Shomaila, listing the Rav's many Maisim Tovim. But that was not enough to take away the Zera. Finally, the Baal Shem Tov mentioned that the Rav had always been very careful with observing Mlav HaMalka. The Beis Din agreed that this mitzvah was great enough to save him, on condition that he would fulfill it that night as well. Hearing this, the Baal Shem Tov called over one of his Talmidim, wrapped him with his holy gartel, handed him a loaf of challah and one of the slices of his own challah, and commanded him, "Go to the window where the light is shining, and you will know what to do." Without questioning, the chassid left. The Baal Shem Tov remained at the table, repeating again and again, "Levatola b'chol klifin." The Chevraya Kadisha realized that something was amiss. The chassid walked, leaving Mezhebush, but soon found many difficulties disturbing his travels. The roads were rough, and his energy waned, so he cried to Hashem that he be able to fulfill his Rebbe's instructions. Suddenly it became easier, and he felt the ground miraculously disappearing under his feet, until he saw in the distance a lantern shining from a window. Entering the open door, he saw a yid lying in vomit, fast asleep, and the watchman told him that this was the local Rav who had come to convert. He understood the purpose of his mission. The drunken Rav soon awoke and immediately reached for more mashke. But the chassid grabbed him, telling him to first wash his hands and eat some challah from Mlav HaMalka. As the Rav tasted this holy challah, the Kedusha filled him, releasing him of the keiches atuma. "What have I done?" he cried. "No one can help me except for the Baal Shem Tov. Only he can direct me to do tshuva. But he lives so far away." The chassid instructed him, "Hold on to my gartel and we will leave this place." They stepped outside, and in only a few moments they found themselves in Mezhebush. They opened the door, and upon seeing the Baal Shem Tov and his chassidim sitting at their Mlav HaMalka, the Rav fainted. When he was revived, he wept bitter, humble tears of true Baal Tshuva. The Baal Shem Tov taught him how to correct his past and continue on the proper path.